Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 20th, 2012, episode 385. And this episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people. Okay, well, I'm sitting here waiting on Glenn, and he's not here right now, apparently. So let's
see. Hey, Jamie, am I here?
Oh, Jennifer's here. Well, here, I'll play this
I'm
right
here.
Now.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday. Let's start Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
Work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie. That was bad timing, but we're back. Good morning. It's Friday.
Well, it's just such a great start to a Friday to be like, hello? Anybody here?
I actually looked down to see if it was the 13th, but it wasn't. So.
No, it's not. That was last Friday. You're no way around
and
it.
And you actually had a good show last Friday. You didn't get knocked off once, so it was good. Well, today's going to be better. I have positive technology thoughts today.
Oh, okay. How's that working out so far?
Not great. But I can sneak them. Doesn't mean they're always going to work out too terrific. It is Friday, though, and, you know, we got an exciting week next week. So are you doing anything fun this weekend, or are you just getting the farm ready for you to leave for a while?
Yeah, still trying to kind of get everything prepared. And, this weekend I'm actually going to go and remember I have a warm blood and I leased him to a woman that lives about an hour away and she just loves him. Well, I'm going to go visit him on Sunday and give her a little riding lesson and go check up on him and see if he's doing okay. Other than that, I plan on doing nothing but, you know, riding horses and hanging out with my husband.
Cool. Cool, and then you get to have your husband come along next week to Rolex, which is really neat. That's exciting.
I know.
So, and I'm excited to meet him for the first time, finally, after all this time.
Well, and I can't believe Jennifer's not going to be here. So one out of two ain't bad, so that'll be fun. And what are you guys doing this weekend? Are you still kind of unpacking, moving in, all that kind of stuff?
No, actually, we're all moved in. Jennifer rode yesterday for about 2 hours. I think she went out and went around the neighborhood here, and I think she was surprised that at the route she took, it took her almost 2 hours. I think she was planning on more like an hour, but she had a great time riding yesterday. We're actually supposed to have our first bad weather tomorrow, so we are officially moved in because I have now programmed the NOAA radios to the local county here. So now we're official.
Wow. That's a big deal. So during the show, we're going to start hearing your weather radars go off again.
Yep, exactly. Hopefully not quite as often as we did in Lexington.
No, probably not.
there were a lot of times it went off when we were in Lexington, for sure. But, Jennifer, we have a great show planned for today.
We do. On today's Kentucky Performance Freestyle Friday edition, as if Rolex Kentucky three-day event wasn't loads of fun already, the folks at New Vocations have gotten together with some of the biggest names in eventing to create a little event they call Thoroughbreds for All. And New Vocations director Anna Ford will be here this morning to tell us all about it. I'm bummed that I'm going to miss it because that's just one more fun thing to do at Rolex. And continuing on the taking care of our own theme, Madeline Pickens is going to be stopping by this morning with a really big announcement that all you Madeline fans and Mustang fans are going to be really thrilled about. And, of course, Really Bad Ads is back, and one lucky listener-submitted ad will win a gift pack of Well Horse resin.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. I got to ask before I do my daily winnings, though, is Chad still in a funk? Or see, we get over that pretty easy, though. Usually by the next day, us guys are back to normal.
Yeah, he's fine now. He didn't have to ride his horse, although I had a 15-year-old girl ride his horse last night, and the horse was amazing. So I'm like, it's you. we're all ready. He's ready to sell the horse, and then the little 15-year-old rides him around, and he was perfect. And officially yesterday, Joe Montana jumped his first jump. Actually jumped it.
On purpose? Like he was pointed towards it?
Yes, I was actually riding him towards it. It was a little cross rail. And what he usually does is he just throws his front legs through the jump and somehow knocks the standards over and knocks everything over. Well, for the first time yesterday, he actually, removed all 4 feet from the ground at the same time. Now, unfortunately, his ability kept him from he landed all 4 feet on the same at the same time too. So it wasn't the most beautiful of efforts, but he's starting to figure it out. So mazel Joe Montana. I've been bagging on him for 2 weeks now, so I thought I should share some good news about Joe.
Probably shouldn't sign him up for a hunter class anytime soon, though.
Not yet, but again, he's learning. He's progressing. He didn't pass out when I put the girth on, so that's
I wanted to get some updates here. So he was passing out when you put the girth on. That has stopped?
No. It hasn't stopped. I've just had to learn to manage it. And thank you to all the listeners who have emailed me different things to think about. I wish I had a blanket surcingle because lots of people have told me that this kind of surcingle, you can actually just put it on them and leave it on them. It's a stretchy surcingle, which would be great, but it's not, 1924, and they don't sell those anymore, or I can't find one. So, I don't have one of those. But what I've kind of had to start doing is just put the girth on, till it's loose and just barely touching his skin, and then I have to walk him forward. And then I have to slide the saddle forward again and then tighten it up and walk him forward. But there can be no backing up. And there can be no leaving him standing. I have to lunge him while I'm tacking him up. And it just, I think it's just going to be like that. Whatever. Just don't back him up and don't leave him alone because he'll just fall over.
I bet you this is something he'll get over after a period of time.
Talked to a lot of people about that, and I've asked them if this is something that they get over. And being in an equestrian community, I asked somebody down the street, and they were like, oh, my gosh, our Palomino's like that. I'm like, really? What did you do? Well, we just deal with it. I'm like, is it going to grow out of it? Is he going to get past it? She goes, that Palomino's 24. We've had her since she was 4. I'm like, oh, God.
Not what I wanted to hear. Wrong answer.
Yeah. 20 years of that. That's fun.
All right. One other question we got to get caught up on is, has Joe Montana started eating, or are you taking Tom's advice and just feeding him beer nonstop?
He just drinks beer. He's on the liquid diet. No, I have not tried him back on the strategy because what I did was to get him to eat. I mean, he's 4, but this is the horse that was starved and then was in a stall for 4 years. So he's very wasty, and he looks like a baby. He just looks like a yearling, but he's 4. So I started him on the Equine Junior, and since I bought one 50-pound bag of Junior, and so I've started feeding him that, and he really likes that. I'm sure it's like Snickers bars in a bowl.
And there goes Jamie again. So
there
I guess
Jamie.
My
bye-bye, Jamie.
My technology prediction is wrong for today. I'm sorry about that. I don't know why.
You were dead wrong, Glenn.
I know. We're trying to address this issue with Blog Talk and find out why exactly this is happening, and I think they're working on it. But obviously it has not been totally addressed yet. Jamie is doing something that I think that the listeners are going to love a little bit later in the show today. Everybody's been writing and saying, when is Jamie going to read the next book? Well, she's not reading a book today, but she's reading an unbelievable article that was written for Fox News by a guy named by the Reed Forgrave. And she's going to read that article today. It will have you on the edge of your seat. And for all you Jamie reading lovers out there, you get her back today for a short period of time. I'm not letting her read Black Beauty all over again.
Box of tissues, too, though. This one's going to, just like Black Beauty did, this one's going to require tissues. Sorry, I dropped off there. Where were we?
We were about to do Daily Winnies. Let's do that. Okay, and if you drop off during your reading today, we'll just have to have an intermission because I can't do it as good as you. So remember, I flunked the reading part. Daily Winnie today is Barbara Evans, who I have to give a happy birthday to, her quarter horse mare, Lucy. She is 9 years old as of yesterday. So happy birthday to Lucy. That was Lucy at the end there. Yeah. All right, your turn.
Well, I have two today. So my first one goes out to EventingNation.com. Eventing Nation posted on their website. First, their whole thing is just Rolex, Rolex, Rolex. We're Rolex crazy. Well, they put on the article this morning, Horses in the Morning has got Rolex on the brain, too. Check out this morning's show, Rolex Roundtable, with Barb Crable, Heather Morris, and Deborah Rosen for some entertaining and informative pregame banter. Now, what they didn't say was that Jamie Jennings did a fantastic job at the Rolex Roundtable hosting the three advanced Avengers, but I'm going to let that slide. So if you're listening to this and you came here from Eventing Nation, you may finish out this show, but this is not the one with the Rolex Roundtable. It was yesterday. So it just depends on what time zone you're in when you read Eventing Nation. So stop now. Go to yesterday. It's about 30 minutes in. Good. Thank you very much. Next, Daily Winnie, please.
And you can listen to it at horsesinthemorning.com.
Good job.
Do you have another one?
Yes. All the women are listening. They're like, she just said she had two. She just said she had two. Why is he a man not going to listen? I'm not going to get started on that again. My next Daily Winnie goes out to millions of my new best friends, and their names, actually there's 10,000 of my new best friends, and their names are Fly Predators, and they will be released at Flyover Farms today. Here we go.
You got the insect, huh?
War on flies has begun. I got them a couple days ago, but it's so bizarre, Glenn. You have to wait until some of them in the bag start hatching. So you have to wait till there's like some bugs in the bag. How do they live? I don't get it. But there's like a little bag with little like black maggoty looking things like larvae, and they start hatching in the bag, and so now I have to release them. But here's what I have to do because I have chickens. Apparently, if you throw these suckers on the ground, the chickens think it's like the greatest food ever. So I have to take pieces like. I'm not going to say handfuls because I'm not going to use my hand, but you're supposed to take some and put it in a container, like a Ziploc baggie, leave the baggie open and tie it up high off the ground. How am I going to do that? I'm not going to scoop up little pieces of larva and set it out in Ziploc baggies. I don't know what I'm going to do. But at some point today, they will be released. I'm very excited. And
are you supposed to walk around the property and release them in different places or just let them all go, like they do at the Doves at the football games?
I wish that was that easy. No, you're supposed to go to, like, the places that are wet or have manure because it's the breeding ground. And so I have to walk my property today with these fly predators and spread them out on my neighbor's property and my property because they have a cow and they have a big manure pile. So I have to go over there and spread them out in these general areas. But they have chickens, too, so I don't know what the heck I'm going to do.
So you're not allowed to put them around the chickens? That's what the chickens
They'll
eat them.
Eat them.
I forgot about that.
They love bugs. Jimmy's a larva. Those look delicious. So I got to figure that out. But any suggestions are welcome on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Please, if you have had chickens and fly predators, I know that's kind of random, but I've had lots of help the last couple of weeks from listeners. So we'll give it a go.
That's pretty random. That's about as random as it gets.
Somebody out there will help me, though. You just watch.
Now, you guys, you live in an equestrian neighborhood, and it's a desert and everything. You don't exactly have woods in the backyard like we do. What do you do with the manure? Do you have to have it taken away? Do you have to have dumpsters? Or what does everybody do?
Well, you know what's really awesome about where we are is there is a guy that lives two streets back that has a pecan tree farm. And so he actually takes my horse's manure, and he leaves a big, it's like the attachment for a riding lawnmower, like the big, it's like a little trailer, I guess. And so we actually put our manure in the trailer, and he drives it back to his house, and he puts it on his pecan trees. I guess that's really good for trees like that. The other people in the neighborhood, everybody has a dumpster and a ramp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I kind of figured.
What do you
here,
guys do? You just dump it in the woods, right?
Everybody just dumps it in the woods, and because of all the bugs, I mean, we posted that video yesterday. We forgot to mention that. We posted a video yesterday of a dung beetle working hard with a piece of manure, trying to get away from Jennifer's pitchfork before she scooped it up. He was trying to protect his lunch, and we took a video of that and posted it, and people had a lot of funny comments. It was actually very funny looking at the little guy work so hard to get away. But, the dung beetles and everything, it just disintegrates and, you know, it becomes compost in a matter of no time. So everybody just dumps it in the woods and it goes away. It's Mother Nature.
I'm not sure it does that, but that's cool if that's what happens. You should have, like, a compost area, like you're supposed to dig it out and, like, make it a certain size. And I don't know. It's going to add up at some point, Glenn.
Yes, it probably will. And at that point, we'll deal with it like everybody else does. But nobody has dumpsters in this neighborhood. They just don't. And they clean their paddocks. We clean our paddocks every day. But it just seems like, especially in the rainy season, it just goes away. There's lots of critters here. Lots of critters. Well, we have our first guest on the line. And her name is Anna Ford. We talked to her before. She's Program Director of New Vocations, which is our favorite thoroughbred adoption charity. And she has something very exciting to talk about that's coming up next week during Rolex. I know a lot of our listeners are going to be at Rolex, and I'm going to be meeting up with some of them. So anyway, good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
So tell us what's going on next week at Rolex. This is very exciting stuff.
Okay. Well, April 28th, that's Saturday, following the cross-country session at Rolex, we are having an event at Westwind Farms, which is the facility New Vocations uses in Lexington, at 5 o'clock. It's called Thoroughbreds for All, and basically the event is a celebration and symposium of thoroughbreds and second careers. And it's going to be a pretty neat night because, first of all, it only costs $35, and you get dinner, which if you've gone to Rolex on Saturday and you're trying to find a place to eat dinner on Saturday night, it's next to impossible except for McDonald's.
Right,
so
you're absolutely
right. You get a Southern-style dinner, and we're going to allow about 45 minutes for everyone to arrive, and then we're going to start with different educational seminars, and they're going to be really unique. It's basically, for instance, our first session, we're going to be bringing in anywhere from 6 to 8 of the new vocation horses that are there. And they range from being retired for 6 months to being retired for 2 weeks. And we have Bruce Davidson, Kathy Wishoff, Dorothy Kroll, and Dr. Alday who are going to walk around with our moderator, Stuart Pittman, and basically talk and critique the horses. And we want to try to create a feeling that the audience is going shopping with Bruce Davidson, basically. And so they're going to go through our horses and critique them and say, you know, what they like, what they don't like, watch their movement and whatnot. And so that's just kind of a glimpse of our first session. And after that, we have Chris McCarron and his jockey school students are coming out and doing a quick session on what exercise riders and jockeys all know that the rest of us should know. And so we're real excited to have Chris there, and he's going to be riding too. And then after that, we're going to do basically bring three of our new vocation horses back, and two of the challenge trainers, Eric Erickson, Carrie Blackmere, and then Stuart Pittman, they're going to come and ride those horses and basically talk about how to work with retired race horses in the first month. And Bruce Davidson's also going to be a part of that. He's going to basically be the trainer on the ground telling them what to do. So it's pretty cool. And then after that, we've got several other trainers that have brought horses off the track, thoroughbreds that have schooled for a year, for 5 years, 6 years, like different levels of training to kind of show the whole gamut of here's a horse that's been off the track for 2 weeks and here's one that's been off for 6 years. And we're really excited. It's going to be a pretty cool night.
What a fun night. And I got to tell you, the place you're having it, which is your center there, Westwind Farm, is beautiful, and it has a huge like a covered arena, and I assume that's where you're going to be doing everything?
Yeah, everything's going to be in there. And we have seating for up to 300 people.
Really?
And,
wow.
And we've sold over half the tickets already.
Oh, good for you. And it's only $35, you know, for dinner and for everything that you're going to get there. You don't often get to see Buck Davidson. He's not one of those guys that, you know, or Bruce Davidson, rather. He's not one of those guys that wanders around doing clinics all over the country all the time. So this is a rare thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're really excited. And so far, it's been amazing that most of the people that have bought tickets already are not from Central Kentucky. Most of the tickets have come from out of the state. So as far as Washington State and Iowa, and I mean, all over the place. So we're pretty excited.
I know, Jamie, you're probably looking at this going, how cool would that be?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, as a person who loves to take them off the track and retrain them, you know, it'd be so nice to sit and watch some professionals go through what and see how they deal with what those of us who have taken racehorses off the track have dealt with, and to see kind of how they get through it. I know that's the reason I ended up going to my coach now, is because this off-the-track thoroughbred was giving me, you know, some trouble. They don't know how to move off the leg. They don't know how to turn, all these basics that can be very challenging when you're a wuss, like I was being. So to see these guys go out there and do it, and to be watching Bruce Davidson coach, like Eric Dierks and Stuart Pittman, that's just the coolest thing. So I definitely would love to go to this. And so how many tickets have you sold, and how many do you have left?
I believe the final count this morning was like 140, and so we can sell up to 300. If we have good weather, we might be able to sell. We might go over that number, but due to parking restrictions at the farm, we want to be careful on how many cars we have parked there.
Good weather in Kentucky 5 minutes is different than good weather in Kentucky the next 5 minutes. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So right now, the 10-day forecast shows that Rolex weekend is actually going to be really nice. So we're excited about that. People can go on our website. It's horseadoption.com to purchase tickets. And if they're at Rolex and we still have tickets left, we'll be selling them at the new vocations booth.
Well, this is terrific. I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. Jennifer, if you could post a link to that on our Facebook page as well. And, of course, there'll be some, you know, retired racehorses there up for adoption as well. So if you're thinking about adopting a horse, you'll get to see what the experts say about them, and then you can run back and adopt it quick. So
That's right.
Thank you, Anna. We appreciate you being on.
Okay, thanks for
new vocation. And that's next Saturday night from 5 to 9. So that's after cross country is long over by that point. Give you plenty of time to get over there. So 5 to 9 Saturday night at – and you're right, it's only about 10-15 minute drive to West Wind Farm from the horse park. So,
and you know, you get dinner, so it's like you're going to go to dinner anyway. Might as well go to dinner and a show. You know,
support a good cause. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Bye.
There's just so much to do. You know, I noticed that in recent years more than before, and I don't know if you've noticed this too. There's more and more different businesses that have started piggybacking off of Rolex. And I don't know why that never happened before, but in recent years, it's really started to happen.
Yeah, it's like people finally woke up and decided that they could, you know, you don't have to go home right after Rolex cross country. You know, most people want to hang out at the horse park anyway. You might as well have something to do, you know, and to hop in your car and go on down to go see these horses would be definitely something I would love to do for sure.
Well, let's take a break for our commercial. Why don't I do the commercial, and you can mentally and prepare your voice, go, you know, do your ho-hums, and get ready for your reading today, which we haven't done in a long time. And this will also give the chance for everybody to get their tissues out because they're probably going to need them. One thing horse people look for in a supplement is a safe, reliable product that addresses the challenges facing their horse. The employees at Kentucky Performance Products couldn't agree more. In fact, they feed KPP supplements to their own horses. One of those products they feed is Endure Extra. Endure Extra is a high-fat, low-carb energy source recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen to maintain optimal energy levels for your competition horses and to increase weight gain in your poor doers. More than just a fat supplement, Endure Extra also provides much-needed natural vitamin E to protect muscles and increase immunity levels. Added gut conditioners stimulate the appetite and maintain a healthy digestive tract. Provide all these benefits to your horse with as little as 8 ounces per day. To choose the right KPP supplement for your horse, go to kppusa.com or give them a call at 800-772-1988. And to learn more about horse nutrition and interact with the experts at KPP, join their Facebook page. They're always posting good stuff over there. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. All right, did I give you enough time to mentally and physically prepare?
I don't know. I need to go get some tissues or something. I'll see if I can get through this. But just an absolutely fantastic article. And everybody knows the story of Boyd Martin and what happened at his Pennsylvania farm, or Philip Dutton's Pennsylvania farm, that in the barn that Boyd was leasing. But I don't think it's ever been quite described this way. So I wanted to take a minute, and Glenn's going to let me just kind of read it and let you guys hear this article. It's one thing to post it, and you may not have time to read it. So I just wanted to do it, get it done for you, get your homework done for you. So this is the article is titled "Martin Saved Horse Share Special Bond," and it was written by Reed Forgrave, and this is Fox Sports, correct, Glenn?
Yeah, I think it was Fox Sports, correct. Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the article. Cochranville, Pennsylvania. It was just past midnight when Boyd Martin answered his ringing phone. The screams on the other end of the line were loud enough to wake his wife. "There's a fire," said the voice. One of Martin's employees who lived near the stables where Martin kept his horses called. "The stables are in flames and the horses are trapped inside." Martin bolted from his bed, threw on a T-shirt and flip-flops, and sprinted out of the home where he and his wife had moved 2 months before. It was Memorial Day 2011, a year before Martin hoped to ride his favorite horse, a frenetic Australian thoroughbred named Neville Bardos, in the equestrian events of the 2012 Summer Olympic Games in London. As he sped down his gravel driveway and turned towards the stable 6 miles away, Martin thought, this could be bad. This was his livelihood. This was his Olympic dream. And this was the horse that he poured nearly a decade of training into, all going up in flames. There was no one on the road in this area of rolling hills and fertile farmland an hour east of Philadelphia. Martin came around a bend near True Prospect Farm. Then he saw it, a massive mountain of flame in the distance, coating the huge oak trees in an eerie orange glow. Firefighters surrounded the barn. On hand was Philip Dutton, Martin's mentor and Olympic gold medalist, who owned the farm and rented the stables to Martin. A few of Martin's employees who tried to rescue some of the dozen horses inside were crying and shaking. The horses had been inside the straw and wood-fueled fire for nearly an hour. The metal was so hot that some of the stable doors had welded shut. Surely, most of the horses were dead. "I'm real sorry," the fire chief told Martin. "Everything's gone. It's all gone." But Neville Bardos, the horse Martin had saved from slaughter and turned into one of the top eventing horses in the world, was inside. Firefighters told him it was dangerous and the building was close to collapsing and that he couldn't go in. The firefighter's charge was to protect human life first, but to Martin, Neville was as good as family. Martin felt clear-headed, as sober as a judge, and he knew what he had to do. So Martin punched the fire chief who was blocking his way, covered his face with a t-shirt, and ran into the thick black smoke. Eventing is a triathlon of equestrian events and the discipline in which Martin hopes to win gold in London. It began as a military exercise to assess the merits of cavalry horses and its rider. There's dressage, a precise balletic exercise inside an enclosed arena that tests the horse's obedience as well as its rapport with the rider. There's cross country, where the rider gallops the horse over natural terrain filled with jumps and obstacles, a test of the horse's athletic ability as well as of the shared trust between horse and rider. And there's show jumping in an enclosed stadium where obstacles are set up in the ring to test the horse's fitness and stamina as well as that of its rider. But more than any one skill, a successful eventing horse needs guts. Unlike a racehorse whose talents are God-given, whose sprinting days are typically over by the age of four, an eventing horse takes years of training to open up a kernel of ability inside. Eventing horses are typically bought from tracks as two slow racehorses and need upwards of 7-plus years of training to develop, perhaps, into a world-class equine. The biggest part of our sport is the trust the horse has to have in its rider, said Dutton, a four-time Olympian. With a baby horse, you start off by walking it through water, then you walk it over little logs, little jumps, and ultimately, if the trust works out and the horse has enough ability, 4 to 6 years later, a horse that can be the best in the world, even in the Olympic Games. Every day you work hard to keep the horse's trust and not to do anything to the horse that would not keep that trust going. Why such a high level of trust? You have these animals, Dutton explained, these horses that eventually will jump off the side of something that looks like a mountain, and they do it for you because they trust you. And if something goes wrong, it could spell catastrophe for the rider and the horse. It was clear when Martin was a teenager in Australia that school wasn't for him. He was the son of two Olympians who met at the 1968 Winter Olympics in France, his father an Australian cross-country skier and his mother an American speed skater. Martin was an Aussie country boy, and he hated being stuck inside. So after graduating from high school, he moved into a bunkhouse at an Australian 3-day eventing academy, and he began to compete in the equestrian circuit in Australia and New Zealand. In his first event, Martin fell 3 times, chased his horse back to the trailer, remounted, and then finished the course. He is, above all else, a fighter. In 2003, a friend told Martin about a horse at an Australian racetrack that could have a kernel of athleticism in him. And just as importantly, this horse could be had for cheap. The horse was half American, half Australian, just like Martin. But at 3 years old, the chestnut gelding was already retired, too slow for the racing game, and the owner was trying to sell him. And if that didn't work, the horse would end up at the slaughterhouse, bound for a dog food can. Martin offered the owner about $850, a bit more than the slaughterhouse would have offered. The horse's name was Neville Bardos. The plan, get him cheap, put in 6 months of training, and sell him for a tidy profit. But he was a little more of a handful. Hold on. But he was a little more of a handful, more of a wild horse, more than I expected, Martin said. He was a bit of a hothead and a bit of a handful in the barn. To be honest, I really thought I'd bought a lemon, and I thought, oh, geez, what will I do with this horse? He was over-enthusiastic with his work. He tried too hard, a real handful. I really questioned the decision in buying him. What am I going to do with this raging lunatic? There was no chance of selling this skittish horse to the average Joe, to a casual rider looking for a nice, quiet horse, but Martin quickly realized something. Neville was a pure athlete, fast enough for eventing and an excellent jumper. Martin's wife, a German dressage rider named Silva, who also had Olympic aspirations, noticed something funny. Her husband and Neville thrived off each other. The two were so similar, both high energy and acting like they have ADD. Neville's not a cuddly horse at all, Silva said. He doesn't like to be around people that much. In cross country, he draws so much confidence from Boyd and vice versa. You can see it if you know horses. As the years passed, Neville started to chill out, showing a trust in his patient trainer. The two started advancing up the levels in eventing, drawing confidence off each other. They eventually moved to the United States together. The Martin settled in eastern Pennsylvania, and in the 2010 World Equestrian Games, Martin's first as an American citizen, he rode Neville to 10th place, the top finish for an American horse. He's not the flashiest or the fanciest one there, Martin said. What he is a very, very tough horse. When you're faced with a very difficult course, tough conditions, and all the show ponies are withdrawing and retiring halfway around, without fail, Neville chomps at the bit, digs deep, and does the business. So when Martin had to decide whether he would rush into a burning building last spring, it wasn't as if he was risking his life to save some animal. This was an animal he'd spent years training. Martin had saved his horse from slaughter, and Neville had protected Martin on so many dangerous cross-country courses. Really, there was no choice. Inside the barn, a wall of smoke so dark it seemed as if pumped from a factory flooded all but the area nearest the door. Martin's mentor and the owner of the stables, followed Martin in, crawling through the 12-foot-wide alleyway between the stables. It was spooky how quiet it was inside, and the fire raged. Martin ran past the corpses of horses. He choked and sputtered with every breath. The only sounds he heard were of a few horses coughing and gurgling. He didn't have a flashlight, but Martin knew where Neville was stabled. And there he was, standing in a corner, his eyes wide open and his chestnut body turned black, covered in soot and in burns. But the horse seemed oddly calm. The roof was starting to fall in. I'm going to die here, Martin thought. But Martin couldn't budge Neville. Then, like a ghost, Dutton appeared from a cloud of smoke. He went behind the horse and started to shove him, and Martin grabbed by the horse by his cribbing collar. The two emerged from the flaming barn with Neville in tow. They fell to the ground, coughing up smoke. If we were 20 or 30 seconds later, Martin said, he was dead. The two tried to go in again to save other horses, but the smoke was too thick. The fire burned through the pitch dark night, and as the horses were taken to nearby veterinary intensive care units, Martin and Dutton stayed at the barn, waiting for it to burn out. By 5:30 a.m., the sun was starting to rise, and the barn was a smoldering heap. His wife picked him up and drove him to the clinic to see Neville. As the clinic door opened, Martin broke down, the first time his wife had ever seen him cry. Inside, Neville was hooked up to an IV to give him fluid and antibiotics. A breathing tube in his nose fed him oxygen. His throat was burned all the way to his lungs. When he saw his old riding partner, Martin just assumed that there was no chance they'd compete together again. He just wanted the horse to survive and live out his life in a field. Don't get your hopes up, the veterinarians told the Martins. Of the six horses who survived, Neville was by far in the worst shape. Then veterinarians tested Neville's blood. They were flummoxed. They tested it again with the same results. According to Neville's carbon monoxide levels, he should have been dead. But he just stood there, calm and sturdy. Right then I knew, this is one horse who will prove all the experts wrong, said Martin. It's a gray, windswept April day on the 70 hilly Pennsylvania acres Boyd Martin is shaping into a world-class cross-country training facility. Two dogs, an Irish setter, and Jack Russells greet visitors. A groom zips around on a moped. Lining the gravel driveway are six sapling pears just starting to bloom. At the foot of each tree is a plaque, one for each horse who died. Standing near some temporary stables, Martin's black riding boots are spackled with mud. It's only 4 months before the London Olympics, and Martin lifts his leg over Neville Bardo's and takes the horse on a light gallop around the arena, stretching out his muscles after a competition the weekend before. Doesn't look like much, does he, Martin says, but today Neville is sitting pretty, one of only four American horses shortlisted for the eventing competition in the 2012 Olympics. This past year has been a trying one for Martin. Days after the fire, they buried the horses in a paddock near the remains of the barn. Fire officials told him it was an electrical fire, and Martin had lost some $100,000 in equipment, as well as a big source of his income. Plus, within 2 months of the fire, two more tragedies struck. Martin's father died in a bicycle accident in Australia, then his wife's father died of cancer back in Germany. But with the bad news came good. The first was how the community of eastern Pennsylvania embraced the Martins after the fire, giving them a sense of home in their new land. The second was the amazing recovery of Neville Bardos, the one thing that helped Martin get out of bed in the morning during the depressing time. Right after the fire, Neville started eating hay, surprising everyone. A hyperbaric oxygen chamber helped heal his lungs. Neville seemed healthy, so Martin kept training him for competition and flew him to England 3 months after the fire. 3 months after the fire for the Burley Horse Trials, a four-star international event and one of the premier events in the sport. Neville and Martin finished in seventh place, the top Americans better than anyone imagined. In the dressage portion of the eventing competition, the precise discipline where the lively Neville had always struggled, the horse seemed to take a deep breath and calm down as soon as he entered the arena. I'd never seen him do that before, Silva Martin said. I think Neville knows. He changed after the fire. In the months before London, Neville Bardos will be one of the most pampered horses in the world. He has his own masseuse and chiropractor. A horse psychic works with him. He gets 5 meals a day plus fancy horseshoes to help him jump better. The failed racehorse Boyd Martin bought for less than $1,000 is now owned by a syndicate of 10 owners and worth in the neighborhood of $1 million. I often look at him and he's half grinning and I just think, how did you pull that off cheating death twice, Martin says with a laugh. We're lucky we both found each other. Neville Bardos has become the horse that has defined Martin's career. Anything can happen in eventing, a fall, a slip, a bad day in the arena, but Martin knows he and his horse have a great shot at medaling in London. A triumph in the world's greatest sporting event would be an achievement of Martin's lifetime and accomplished on the back of the horse whose life he saved twice. In a weird kind of way, Martin says, we both needed each other.
Oh. Wow, what an excellently written article, and what an excellently read article, I would say, too, Jamie. I know how tough that was for you to get through the middle of that article.
Mm.
I hope this guy, and I give him credit again, Reed Forgrave, ends up writing the book about Boyd, because, you know, it couldn't have been any more well-written than that.
Man, that is just a powerful article. And, you know, it's like when you really, you break it down and you hear just, you know, somebody describe how it was, because in the ensuing days, you didn't get the detail of Philip Dutton
right.
running in there and helping push Neville.
And I think Jamie just dropped off again. She got right through it there, Jennifer, and then she dropped off again, but she'll be back here in a minute. And again, we apologize for the technical difficulties this week. We're hoping that Blog Talk can resolve these. And then by the time we're through Rolex week next week, we should be fine. But Jamie did do a great job reading it. And what great timing that you only dropped off right after, Jamie.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with this system? I'm so frustrated.
I know it's hard for us. You know, it's frustrating for the listeners, but it's also hard for us because we kind of get in a rhythm when you do the show. You're mentally into it. And then when you drop off, you have to get back on. And it takes you out of your rhythm a little bit.
I'm
so
sorry, you guys. This is really frustrating. But
and
I hope we don't drop
me,
off our next guest.
We're trying to get it resolved, yes. One of the things that is so cool about our job, Jamie, is that we get to talk to and meet some of the coolest people in the world. And coming up here very shortly, we're hoping, keep your fingers crossed, it is one of the coolest people in the world who's out there trying to do something good for the world. And we're talking about Madeline Pickens. So you had the opportunity to interview Madeline for an hour, which is very unheard of. You and Helena from the Stable Scoop radio show a while back, and you talked about this project that she was working on.
Yeah, she's working on a project called the Mustang Monument, a wild horse eco sanctuary in northern Nevada. Now, her plans for it will be a tourist destination basically a national park where Americans and tourists from around the world can go and watch the Mustangs and observe and be just a part of American history. And, you know, she's also wanting to work on saving the horses because, you know, we don't need to get into the endless frustration that we have talked about in the past about what is going on with America's Mustangs. So she's got this whole thing, the Wild Horse Eco Sanctuary, to where you can take guided hikes through the desert, camp in teepees, do campfires, storytelling, Native American legends. It's like a summer camp for grown-ups. It'd be so much fun. And I would like to welcome Madeline Pickens to the show right now. And thank you so much for joining us. Good morning, Madeline.
Well, good morning.
It is an honor to have you on again. We got to spend an hour together talking about your past and the future with the Wild Horse Sanctuary in Nevada. And I hear that you have some news for us.
Well, you know, I'm 4 years later. We've been working on this project for 4 years, and yesterday was a confirmation. And I got the call from Ed Roberson at the BLM, and he told me that they were ready to move ahead with our program. It was obviously subject to a NEPA study, but since they've been taking care of the public lands for all these years, they must have a pretty good idea that it's all going to work. So it was very exciting. It was pretty emotional. You know, when you fight for something for 4 years and you hit every wall and everybody's sort of got a smile as they see you coming and they go, wait, we'll trip her up somewhere. And finally we got it done. It's just fabulous. I'm elated that the BLM, you know, has come around to it, because I think they always knew it would be good. It's just that Washington does not turn its wheels very fast, so they aren't able to make snap decisions.
Right. So we have this land, you have this wonderful piece of land in northern Nevada. And where are we now, and where does this decision by the BLM put us in the near future?
Well, what it means is that they'll do the NEPA study. I told them that was their baby. They need to do that. They know better how to do that than I do. And so they'll do the study, and then when they have all their paperwork in line, they should bring out, I think, 900 horses. And, of course,
wow,
it'll be totally fenced in. But I tell you what, I can't wait for those trucks to arrive. I want to go see the horses, you know, be taken out of short-term holding areas. And then their little faces when they come to freedom again. I just, you know, it's very special. And you all are horse lovers. So you get it. You understand it. You know, we feel the pain of these animals when they're taken out of their environment and put into a holding pen. It's sort of like a human being taken, you know, into jail for something you didn't do. And I suppose DNA testing has changed a lot of things now. But for the horses, this will be the change for them. And hopefully this is just the beginning of a program that's going to work and we'll be able to expand.
Well, Madeline, you definitely have had a vision from the beginning, and you're a visionary. And I love that some of the articles that I've been reading about you have called you the Mustang's Messiah, basically bringing these Mustangs to the promised land and bringing them home. And it just makes me so emotional. How do you think you're going to feel on the day that those Mustangs come out of the trailer and are released? What's the emotion?
Well, I think that when those moments happen, it's pretty much like when we bought the Paiutes. It's sort of a quiet moment, actually. The wind was blowing. It was, you know, really, really windy day. It was a little bit overcast, but there was, in a way, a silence as those trucks pulled down. And, you know, we started to unload them. And you see the confusion in their faces because they've gone through a lot. Being, you know, gathered up and then put on trucks, sent off to the auctions on the killer buyer trucks, and then all of a sudden they're back on the killer buyer truck, but they're coming back, you know, to a place that's good, that feeds them, that it will let them run around freely. And, you know, we actually we feed those horses in the winter, and we go out with a hay truck, and they're so sweet. They all stand at the gate waiting. There's about 500 of them, 550 of them. And they're
wow.
so civilized and sweet. It's like, you know, it's like having, you know, that many dogs just waiting for dinner, but the dogs are barking and screaming. Crazy. But the horses are still. They're just waiting for the feed truck to come. And they know, you know, that when we first started feeding them, it was with a little tractor pulling a hay, you know, a flatbed with hay on it. And it took them about 3 days to get used to the tractor. Then we switched to a team of horses pulling the flatbed. And the first time that happened, they all sort of, you know, stayed away and went to one side and, you know, were peering at it because these horses were bigger than they were. They knew that it was not the tractor, and they knew that they were, you know, different to them. Big horses. But after the third day, that was it. They were all friends. So it's sweet to see how animals react and behave. And that's been a tremendous amount of pleasure for me, having those Paiutes on the ranch. They are, of course, on my deeded land.
Right, right. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful, all the things that you have done for the Mustangs. And I know we only had 5 minutes with you, so I've got to let you go. But I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing the good news that we're going to move forward with the Mustang Monument. Thank you for everything that you do and being a voice of these horses. You don't have to do this, but you do it because it's in your heart. And
well, the
just,
other thing, everybody knows about the website, Saving America's Mustangs. If you're not with us, sign up with us, because we still have a lot of work to do, and there'll be, you know, times that we want to give you information and ask you to. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it. All the good
thank
stuff you do is fabulous.
Oh, thank you, Madeline. SavingAmericasMustangs.org. Sign up. It's something that you can do to help. You know, sometimes they send I'll take action alerts, and I'm a part of it, and it's a great thing to read about. And like yesterday when I got your email about being able to move forward, I was so excited. Just made my day. So thank you for coming on. Have a wonderful day, and congratulations.
Thank you. All righty. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Madeline. Madeline Pickens on Horses in the Morning, talking about the fact that they have been given the green light. We are going to go ahead with the Mustang Monument. You know, with government, Glenn, as you know, gosh, there's so much red tape with everything. Even somebody who wants to give, you know, take a problem and solve it themselves, by themselves, I've got this idea, let's do it, has been fighting for 4 years to be able to do this. And the fact that she has been able to move forward and get any sort of green light is amazing. But very soon, 900 Mustangs are going to be set free.
And, you know, you were right when you said she doesn't have to do this. I mean, she's obviously, you know, T-Bone Pickens is one of the wealthiest guys in the world. She could sit back and just enjoy life and do nothing but, you know, drink margaritas on the beach. But she's chosen to make this kind of a life mission, and you know, more power to her. She didn't have to. She chose to.
Well, and again, we really touched on that when she was on the show, you know, about how she, you know, so many people in her shoes when their husband is, you know, when they come from where she comes from on a daily basis, they don't have to do anything. And this woman digs deep and helps everything and uses her own resources to do it. And she doesn't, like you said, she doesn't have to. But if you want to listen to that show, you know, just go to horsesinthemorning.com and type in Madeline Pickens, and you'll be able to hear the two-part interview series with her just talking about this whole idea. So check that out, Horses in the Morning. And go to SavingAmericasMustangs.org and sign up for the newsletter.
Well, what an emotional show so far, and we have to change gears here, so let's do a song. I picked a song that would help us change gears a little bit, because we have to do really bad ads and get in kind of a silly, funky mood after
it's Friday!
for the show so far. So we're going to let you change your attitude a little bit. We're going to get our attitudes changed a little bit, and we're going to be back with another edition of Really Bad Ads.
No Broadway show. Hold on and don't let go. It's time to ride. This ain't no screw-up game. Need courage to take the pain. 8 seconds to make your name. It's time to ride. Show 'em what you're made of. Show 'em what you got inside. Got inside. What are you afraid of?
That revs everybody up. That'll get you out of the serious mood that we were in earlier. Before we get to Really Bad Ads, have a Horse Radio Network show highlight. A Stable Scoop radio show was called Off the Beaten Path this week, and we talked to Robin Schindley, who is of the Backcountry Horsemen of America. We talked about all the great work they do, keeping the trails in the deep woods cleaned out, and he had some stories to tell that were kind of fun. Plus, we had a whole bunch of other stuff on that show, so check it out at stablescoop.com or at horseradionetwork.com. And, of course, all of the shows for the Horse Radio Network are out. We have 9 different shows that we do, and you can find them all at horseradionetwork.com. Well, it is time of week. We haven't actually done this for a couple of weeks because we've been doing other things. But it is now that time.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, Jennifer, what is our prize for Really Bad Ads this week?
Our prize for Really Bad Ads this week is a package of Well Horse Resin. It is a proprietary blend of resins from certain trees in the rainforest. And no, the trees are not damaged when they harvest the resin. It's done just like collecting sap for maple syrup. And it is awesome stuff. It's organic, non-toxic, and works great on all sorts of fungal infections, ringworm, rain rot, dew poisoning, poison oak, all kinds of cool stuff.
All right. Thank you to them. And thank you, Jennifer, for letting us know. Janie, I think you're first up today.
Yes, I am first up. And what I'm going to tell you about is, I swear to you people, could you please stop sending things that have no punctuation? And this
you know what I think
be...
they do now? You know what I think they do? I think they go through and take the punctuation out before they send it to us, just to hear you have to read it.
That's fantastic. If I'm lucky, I'll drop the call, being on the air, right in the middle of this so I can catch a breath. This one's not even the worst one today. I don't know what is wrong with you people. All right, this is from Celeste Coulter. And you know what? So many of these would be winners on any other day. We just got a whole bunch of really good ones at the same time. So today is Full Wanted. Full Wanted. Full Wanted with Mom would be nice, but if not, it's okay. I would like a quarter or a Tennessee Walker, but if you have another breed, still can call, but trad to have a Rockmont B, she is $800 horse, so would have to add, but I have two ponies and quarter. My number is, please call. First of all, would is spelled like would. W-O-O-D, so I don't even know what she, I can't figure out what she wants. She wants somebody to give her a foal, and could you have two more different breeds in a quarter or Tennessee Walker? I don't even get it.
I don't either. And those are so hard to read when they have misspellings in them, and it's all one sentence. You throw the misspellings in there, and it really trips you up. You did a good job of that one. It does really trip you up. Well, the next one from Dawn Bailey, this is the other way they send them to us, is people who seem to have the caps lock permanently down on their keyboards and can't figure out how to take it off, and they basically yell the whole ad. And that's the way this one is, so I'll do my best to explain from the mic here a little bit. This is from Dawn Bailey. This is in Rochester, I assume New York, and the title is Appaloosa $800. Hi, I have a Appaloosa. She is 9 years old. She stand about 15 hands. Loads up on horse trailer. Stands for ferry. She lunge. She is easy to saddle up. You can ride her with hackamore. You can ponying little kids on her. She is easy keeper. She good with any other horses and dogs. Thank you for looking at my ADD.
I was hoping you'd read it like that. She's good with answer horses and dogs, and you can ponying little kids on her. Wow. Only $800.
How many times, too, have we seen, and I'm sure the Farrier Association gets really upset when half the ads we see in really bad ads are for ferries, F-E-R-R-I-E.
Yes, it's kind of sad. So the next one is from
I know a
Misa.
Few manly farriers that would punch you in the face if you ever called them a fairy to their face. So
you'd be in big trouble. The next really bad ad comes from Misa Dickinson, and this is I'm just going to read it. At least it has a couple commas in it. Cimarron, a.k.a. Simmy, is a beautiful 16-plus hand Arabian chestnut with flaxen mane and tail. I do have his paper. I ride him bareback, and in a halter, I do Pirelli training with him. He does good on trails. He is spooky of quads and dirt bike. I am working on him with that. He needs a good home. He is huge lover and to go to somebody that won't stick a bit in his mouth. He is an awesome horse. I have started him on barrels.
Wait a minute. Can you do that one again? Somebody that won't stick a bit in his mouth?
Let me. You got to see this whole thing as a whole picture. And that's all I'm going to say is there's certain keywords in this that make you realize what this person is all about.
Okay.
I do Pirelli training with him. He does good on trails. He is spooky of quads and dirt bikes. I am working with him on that. He needs a good home. He is a huge lover and to go to somebody that won't stick a bit in his mouth. He is an awesome horse. I have started him on Barrels. He stands for Farrier Babes Ties. My six-year-old brother can ride him. I will consider a trade for a good trail horse, mare, or miniature horse, or a yearling. I'm looking for Appaloosas, Buckskins, or Paints, or Palominos. He will definitely... He is definitely fitly a looker, making offer soon. We got him as a rescue. He was very thin. We got his weight up after the last snow. It took some off, but we're getting it put back on. He collects nights. We are growing his mane out. His tail reaches the ground. He is gorgeous. Email me and I'll get back to you or call Sydney. Thank you. What I love about this is, first of all, the Pirelli people must just cringe. Just cringe. When they hear something like this, he does Pirelli training in his halter. Don't put a bit in his mouth. He rides my brother. bless her heart. Fantastic ad. I just love this one. And I love that they got his weight up after the last snow it took some off. We got his weight up after the last snow it took some off.
I took that. I noticed that, too. It's like, well, they didn't feed him during the snow. I was wondering about that. Maybe he couldn't get to it. Well, the next one's from UT, who always sends in ads. And you have to read this one, and you have to do it in your best teenager voice.
Yes, it is from DreamHorse.com. And have you ever sold a horse on DreamHorse.com?
No, we have not. But I've looked at many horses on DreamHorse.com.
Yes.
I
have listed several horses on DreamHorse.com, and I've sold many, many horses, or bought, actually, I just buy them. I don't sell them. I've bought many horses on DreamHorse.com for other people or for myself, which is where Jack Daniels came from, was DreamHorse.com. But if you list a horse on DreamHorse.com, it is amazing the amount of little girl emails that you get. And you know that they're little girl emails because they're like, you know, in text speak, first of all. So it's like, hi, are you, like, you know, this whatever, you can't even hardly read them. And they're always like, can you send me a picture of your horse? And you just know they're from little girls. Well, this is definitely a little girl ad. Hi, my name is Shelby, and I'm looking for a horse for sale. I am looking for a jumping horse that could possibly do dressage or cross country. I like spunky horses. As long as they aren't completely dangerous, I would like a horse with good manners. Like, it doesn't matter what breed it is, as long as it's like around 16 hands. I would like a horse to be at least like between 4 and 12 years old, and the horse would have such a loving home with me. So, like, could you please contact me if you have or know of any horses that you feel I would be interested in? Thank you. I want them spunky. I want them safe. I want them this age, and I want them for free. So email me. Like, oh, my God. Totally email me.
Well, I have a couple here that I found in our local Florida Craigslist. And the first one, Jennifer, you have to post the whole ad. Just post the whole ad and the picture because this is a classic. It's for a dual smoker and barbecue, $10. It says char griller, 3-burner propane barbecue with kitchen burner and separate 2-chamber smoker. Comes with a full and half full propane tank and cover. The barbecue side is trashed, but the smoker side is pristine. Okay. Now, let me describe this to you. This has two. It's one barbecue with two sides. It's like you'd see at a Lowe's. But the barbecue side that he said is trashed is absolutely trashed. The thing is tilted and falling off. I mean, the whole thing is about ready to come off of the barbecue. The other side that's pristine is this rusty hulk that looks like the grates have never been cleaned in about 25 years, and it has a little smoker attached, but it is not necessarily the definition of pristine that we would use. And when you see this whole thing, and the thing that's the dichotomy here is the porch it's sitting on looks beautiful. This barbecue that's just totally trashed. But you know what? I got to give him credit. He's only asking $10, and probably the full propane tank is worth $20. So just go get the tanks.
It does say that you get a half full propane tank. That's good. And the thing is, you also get a barbecue cover. Now, why the hell they haven't actually used the cover ever? Because this thing is a tetanus shot waiting to happen, okay? This is Lockjaw in a barbecue grill smoker. Like, the thing that's broken is, like, halfway sideways, but then there's a grate underneath it that's also broken and sideways. And, you know, Glenn, you know what? It has good tires.
It does have good tires. Yeah, they're not flat.
They're about,
so we're,
they're about 3 inches, and they're plastic, so you can't really break those. But there's nothing pristine about any of this, okay?
The next two, Jennifer's going to post that one on Facebook. The next two I found were like, I just was scratching my head. I had no idea what they were talking about. The first one said, let me help with horses. I have a barn and do not need money for one, and I offer the same serves as others. I can get them first of next week.
What?
Let me repeat that and see if you can help me. The title is, let me help with horses. I have a barn and do not need money for one, and I offer the same serves as others. I get them first of next week. Text or call me.
I don't know what they want. Do they want a free horse?
I'm not sure if they're offering to take people's horses or they want to give. I don't know what he wanted. I have a barn.
And do not need money for one. So basically, are you thinking that people are going to pay you to take their horses? I don't get it.
I don't either. My guess is he didn't get a lot of calls. The next one made me scratch my head, and I saw the title. I had to read it. But, you know, some people get very clever with their titles, and you have to be on Craigslist to get noticed. Well, this one got me. I noticed it, but then I had no idea what they were talking about. The title is, in capital letters, Large Green Egg, $1,000. And then that made me had to look, of course, and I went in, and it says, Large Green Egg for $1,000 with extra large wooden cabinet. Or just the egg for $725 and a table separate for $275. What the heck are they talking about? Is this an old egg they stole out of Area 51? I have no idea.
I think I know what they're talking about. And what's funny is that they actually didn't even spell it right. And I don't know if it costs $1,000, but if you, here's what I want you to do, Glenn. And okay. they screwed it up enough to where they wrote it large green egg. But if you go to biggreenegg.com, it is a cooker/smoker. And I was just noticing on biggreenegg.com that it is actually endorsed by one former Atlanta Brave, John Smoltz, because these are actually from Georgia. The Big Green Egg is a grill/smoker. It's absolutely hideous. It is the ugliest grill you have ever seen. It looks like a big, giant green, almost more like a lime, like a dimpled lime golf ball kind of thing. And
how did you even know about this?
You know what? I'll tell you why I knew about it, because remember I told you when I lived in Atlanta, I lived in a very international neighborhood. Like, I mean, just, I lived in the hood, okay? Like, I lived in the hood. And there was all these shops, like, one, like, if you went out of my street and you made a right, you would go through, like, all the Chinese food restaurants. And then the next place was all of the Thai places, and then the Vietnamese places, and then the Ethiopian places. And it was, like, very international. But directly across from my house, there was a place called the Big Green Egg. And I never was, you know, really curious enough to go inside it until one day we had been drinking and we were walking home, and I was like, I have got to know. I've been living here for 5 years. I've got to know what a Big Green Egg is. And it was a store that sold these grills, and they're really expensive.
I think must be if he's asking $1,000 for a used one.
Yeah, it says mini indoor ovens cannot match the egg's temperature control and accuracy. Who the heck knows? But again, I just noticed that my former Brave John Smoltz is listed as an endorser. So,
do you know they have Big Green Egg everything. They have Big Green Egg candles. They have Big Green Egg corn holders. They have Big Green Egg salt and pepper shakers, and I have to say they're kind of cute. They're $18.
Yeah. Again, this is like an international grill. And again, Large Green Egg probably did not get them many calls, but Big Green Egg might have.
I got to say. Well, Jennifer, also Megan McCune sent in the Torse Trailer of the Week. And this one's a classic. This fits right in with Really Bad Ads horse trailers. Jennifer will post it. And again, they won a lot of money for their crappy horse trailer. Horse trailer, $1,000. Four horse trailer, needs painting, has double axles with good tires, $1,000. This thing needs painting is an understatement. It is partly white, partly green, partly rust, partly ugly, lots of ugly. It looks like the hitch works still because it's hitched up, it's sitting up in the front, and it looks like the tires may actually have air. So as compared to a lot of really bad ads we do, this is a pretty good trailer. And they're not asking dollars. They're only asking $1,000 for this Hulk. God, it must weigh 1,000 pounds or 10,000 pounds. It looks heavy.
It's really, that's way overpriced.
Yeah, kind of.
It's hideous.
It is hideous.
And you're right. This thing weighs. This is one of those bumper pulls that you see and you're like, oh, God, that's such a bad idea. There
yeah.
is no truck that should be pulling something that heavy. Four horses on its bumper.
Oh, yeah, and it's made out of steel. This whole thing's made out of steel. And don't you love the little grates they have instead of windows at the top so the air, maybe you get a little bit of air for the horses? I don't know. This is bad.
This is really terrible. The next one was sent, of course, we're going to post that on Facebook and let everybody make fun of it as we do on Fridays now. So this next one.
She went away again. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're consistent today. The next one was sent in by Dawn Bailey, and Jamie will be back here in a second. And I have to wait for Jamie to come back on this one. Dawn gets the runner-up on this one. And I have to wait for Jamie to come back because it's one of those that doesn't have much punctuation. So, and I like to torture her. We like to torture Jamie when it comes to really bad ads, and everybody would be disappointed if we didn't torture her with these. And I actually think, to be honest, while Jamie's not here.
I'm here.
Oh, darn. Okay, well, then I won't say it.
Well, go ahead.
Nothing. It's okay. I was just going to, you know, me and the people were going to have a, I was just going to let them in on a little secret, but no, that's okay.
This one's going to hurt. And I know you were going to say that you probably took the punctuation out of this thing. And that's okay, because I can get through it. I just have to clear my throat, take a couple of deep breaths. Dawn Bailey, runner-up, purebred, pure, P-U-R-E, bread, as in like sandwich meat or sandwich bread. Purebred Appaloosa Mare Horse. Just the title alone makes you realize you should click on this ad and see what it is. Purebred Appaloosa Mare Horse. I have a purebred Appaloosa mare. She has brown dots all over her body and her undercoat is white. Her name is Polky and she will come to her name. She is around 15 hands. She is broke and is Western, but I have rode her English before I got her. She mostly rode bareback, and she is around 9 years old. She sometimes get an attitude. I would not recommend her to beginners, but you can make her a beginner horse with just a bit of training. She comes with a purple halter. She is good with other horses, but sometimes she will kick them because she likes to be bossed them around, but please don't split her up from the other horses. If you don't have other horses, give her extra attention, please. She has kicked my grandpa, but because she thinks she's in rule of everything, she has bucked, but not enough to fall off. And the one riding her was 12. She has never bolted or reared, though sometimes she is good with the farrier, but she has gotten scared a few times. She does plow rein, but after all the negative stuff I said, she is a very good horse. She will canter for you, walk, trot, but has not been galloped that much. She will, if you ask her, she will jump and will go through puddles. She does not need her hoofs trimmed. She does need her hooves trimmed and needs to be wormed, but that is about it. If you have questions, please call me. I almost made it.
I got to tell you, though, I was – forget the bucking. Forget the kicking grandpa. I would have bought this horse if he had come with maybe a blue halter. But the purple halter, that's a deal breaker for me. I'm just not doing it.
You know, the person tried so hard to spell things correctly because phonetically she got things right. She or he got things right in some spots, but like purebred and halter, H-A-U-L-T-E-R, ha-u-ter, I don't even know how to say that. But again, she has kicked my grandpa, but it's because she thinks she's in real. You kicked your grandpa? My grandma. grandpa, so I don't know if it's grandma or grandpa. I can't tell, but yeah.
And she's fucked, but not enough to fall off. So this is a classic. You should go buy this one. You know what? But I'd insist on a blue halter because the purple one's hideous.
That is like one of the most like celebrated things about this horse is it comes to the halter. She put it right there at the front.
Put that right at the beginning, yes. Well, the next one is the winner, and it was sent in by two different people sent this one in, and we'll give credit to both. We have Debbie Konicki sent this one in, and also Denise Burrell, and we had to give it to the winner to Denise because she sent it in first. So when we have ties like this, we have to give it. Debbie, we'll try and get you something. So both of you should send us, send Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com your mailing addresses, and we'll get your prizes out to you. Congratulations on winning. This one, Jamie, is not necessarily a bad ad, but it was just a well-written, funny ad that we had to give the winner today. It was just good.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's great. When two people send it in, you know, it's how did they both find it? I don't know. The title is Bipolar Horse.
$500. Which would make the question up for sure.
Yeah, definitely click on that one. Slightly bipolar horse for sale. Beautiful. Right out of a fairy tale white with one blue eye and one brown eye. Half Arabian, half quarter with papers. Freaks out over everything. Birds, squirrels, leaves. Bags, paper or plastic, cars, dogs, cats, grass, trees, tires, etc. Personality can shift from loving to murderous in about 1/10 of a second.
I dated a girl like this.
Did you date me when I was like in my early 20s? Because I'm feeling this horse. I'm feeling freaked out over everything. Has bitten times one, has kicked times one, only selling to very, very competent rider/trainer. Rideable by people who enjoy roller coasters. Not preferable for people who enjoy life.
This is the most honest ad we've ever seen.
Yeah. Must sign disclosure saying you are not suicidal prior to purchase.
I wonder where you get one of those disclosures. That's good.
I know, right? Selling because husband hates everything about this horse. Easy keeper. Please call for more information.
I love how after all that she throws in easy keeper.
Easy keeper. That has become the word for fat horse. Like it lives on air. It's just easy keeper. Like it's a good thing. Easy keeper.
Well,
so fantastic.
Because you can't get near it to do anything with it. So all it does is eat.
It survives. Easy survivor.
This is great. This is one of the best ones we've had as far as well written and funny and honest. Oh my God, about honest.
Absolutely. We need to post that one on Facebook as the winner and just put the whole ad in there. Probably take out her phone number.
Yeah.
Put some X's in there. But I almost want to call her and just be like, listen, you got, like, can we try to get her on our show? Whoever wrote this, we need to get in there.
This is classic. We need to talk to her about Jennifer. Do that. Give her a call. See if she can come on Monday and tell us more about this horse. We have to hear. We have to hear
Jennifer.
More about this.
I don't know if Jennifer's.
I'm here. I'm listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
The phone number's there. Call this person and see if she'll come on Monday. I think that'd be hilarious. She's obviously got a sense of humor.
I think Jennifer realizes that she has owned this horse. She wrote that she's owned this horse several times. Is that true, Glenn?
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
Love it, you guys. Well, listen,
and I have been that horse husband that painted everything about that horse. I have been that one, too.
Oh, especially how it, like, injures your wife. That's probably up there with the reason you hate it the most. But you guys, let's get out of here, Glenn. Let's wrap up this week.
Yep.
I'm losing my voice after talking, reading for so long. But we really want to thank Madeline Pickens for coming on our show with her big announcement and that they're going to move forward with Saving America's Mustangs. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Fantastic job. Mustang Monument is pressing on. 900 Mustangs soon to be released in her 1,000-acre facility that she has up in northern New Mexico. So congratulations to her, to them, and to everybody. Love you guys. Everybody have a great weekend.
We will be back Monday with the live show, and then we'll have an altered schedule for next week. We'll talk about that on Monday, but we will be back at 9 a.m. on Monday morning with a live show. Jamie and I, our last live show from home next week, and then we'll be meeting up and actually seeing each other. So
Rolex,
that's coming up.
Baby.
Pay attention.
Oh, wrong one.
Wrong one.
I can't find it. That just adds to the day. Let's
spay,
see here.
Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Can you hum the closing? Because I can't find it.
Do you not have it in there? This is so Friday. There it is.
All right. I really need to go to Peeler's now today.
Go get yourself a big green egg. Only
$1,000.
Sorry. Random info. I'm like Cliff Clavin.
Have a beer.